Hello and welcome to a new episode of Hvorfor Norge, this time in English, because I have the great joy of welcoming Ben Adams in the studio. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how are you?
I'm so happy that you could come.
Thank you, I'm so happy. Jeg veldig... No, I'll just keep it English. English is much easier. If you want anything fun out of me, it's in English.
Where are you from in the UK?
I am from, well, different places. I was born in Ascot, and then I my whole family moved to London, and then Hampshire down south. And then I moved to London at 16 and just stayed there until I moved to the beautiful Norway.
You actually make the perfect transition to my next questions. How long have you been in Norway?
I've been in Norway 4 years now.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Officially. But yeah, I've had an apartment here for a bit longer, I think. But the idea was always to live in London and then just come over every now and then to visit Norway and visit friends and Sarah's, my wife's family. And then, yeah, we ended up living here.
So. Okay, so she is Norwegian?
Yes, she is, yeah.
But you guys met?
We met at, I think it was a TV2 party over here, and my band A1 were performing, and she was Miss Norway at the time.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So I just sort of saw her across the room and just thought she looked amazing. And so just went to chat her up, and that's how that kind of happened.
That's such a cute story.
Yeah. I mean, she was obviously a huge me fan anyway. As she's human. She looked pretty fantastic. So that's how it is. But there's 10 years in between us. So she was 18 and I was 28. So it was a bit odd, and we lived in different countries. So I didn't think there was much longevity in it. But here we are.
She's the one.
Yeah, sixteen years later. So that's
16 years together. So cute. And you have kids.
We do. Yeah, we have two kids: a 4-year-old and a 1.5-year-old.
Oh, congratulations!
I'm tired.
Yeah, of course you are. Yeah. I mean, I can relate to that. I have three.
Yeah, well there you go.
So yeah, exactly.
There you go. Well, I got four.
Four.
No, I'm joking. I was trying to go, like, trying to go one up on you.
Well, I've got five.
That is the game I was playing. Yes, well done.
So cool. And this is, do you have boys or girls?
I have a girl and a boy.
Perfect. And then are they Norwegian or British or both? Or how do you define their identity?
They're
still small. However.
Yeah, they're still small. I mean, but to be fair, my son doesn't say anything. I think he says mama now, and he thinks like that daddy is a nose, because I kept pointing to myself going daddy, and now everybody's nose is daddy. So I think I don't think he's speaking yet. But my daughter speaks fluent English and Norwegian, which is lucky because I don't speak Norwegian. So
she speaks better Norwegian than you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, she's fluent, obviously. She sort of sometimes tries to teach me and then gives up. So, yeah.
Oh, that's so cute. She gives up, like, Peppa Pig.
Yeah, no. Well, obviously, that's the same in both languages.
That was a joke.
It was a good joke. It was a very good joke. You're a comedian. That's incredible.
Stop it.
Oh, so funny.
Okay, and so what was your first impression of Norway? Because when you moved to Norway, you knew Norway, right? You're not the one who just arrived and then started a new life here. I mean, you had this apartment. When did Norway enter your story, Ben?
Well, one of my band members is Norwegian.
So Christian?
Christian, yes. So I've had Norway in my life for, oh my goodness, 26, 27 years now.
Okay. So that's...
So I've not, like, we've always come back to Norway on tour and done, you know, loads of shows over here. And we did really well here as a band. So we kept on coming back to do promo and TV. So I've been to Norway loads over the years.
With A1. And so what is the key differences between playing for a UK audience? If you like... Think about Ben at that time, A1, when A1 was like active and had concerts everywhere. How was a typical Norwegian crowd versus a typical British crowd?
Well, at first, we didn't make it in Norway. I think we had three or four singles that were like doing really well in the rest of the world and in the UK and stuff. And Norway just weren't interested, which was obviously really sad for Christian. He was really sad because he was doing great everywhere else, and then he'd come back home and nobody cared. So he was really adamant that we had to be big in Norway. So at first they were very like, we don't care. And then we had a song called Every Time, and that one broke through. So finally we were sort of doing well in Norway. And I think out of the audiences have been kind of consistent all around the world, really. I'd say the only like differences really is when we go to say Southeast Asia and stuff like that, they tend to be a lot more crazy than they are over here. But you know, like the typical fan of a boy band back then was, you know, young teenage girls who kind of get hysterical, and when there are more of them, they get hysterical together. So they were, kind of similar everywhere.
But that's a strange story you have. I mean, I'm fascinated about the fact that you enter adult life with this kind of lifestyle. It's quite uncommon.
Yeah, well, I was a kid. I was 16. I left school straight after I did exams and joined this band, which my parents didn't want me to do. But they basically said if I got good grades at school, like A's and stuff, then I could leave to join this band. And I wasn't a very good student. So I think they were banking on the fact that I wasn't going to do very well.
Exactly.
And I worked really hard for like a month to like just cram in all the stuff that I hadn't learned. And I came out with like 3 A stars and 5 A's and blah, blah, blah. So they were like, well, we promised you that you could, so have a go. So thankfully it worked, and here I am. Yeah,
they must be very proud of you now, right?
I think they're more proud of some things than others, you know. But I've had a colorful career. But yeah, it's been nothing too bad. But
no, I don't.
A couple
I
of naked so. Shoots, I could probably have done
really?
Done less
sure
of.
Yes.
Well, I mean, it's all online. You just have to Google it. There's a lot of fake Ben Adams nude things out there as well, so that's quite fun. But yeah, it's there's you know, being a, I guess being a, especially a pop star in that kind of genre, it lends itself to a lot of sort of things I wish I hadn't done, but I did.
But now you are grown up, or would you qualify yourself as such?
I'm not grown up at
exactly.
all.
Exactly. I'm happy that
not.
I didn't want to. That, these
no.
are your words. Because, okay, just for you guys who listen, I met Ben at Le Beau Show, which was a very cool and fun gala every Friday and Saturday during Christmas time in Bergen. Bergen. And so we had different like backstage where like private back. It's the first time. I mean, probably for you, it was just something completely standard. For me, it was like, whoa, my own backstage with my picture on the door. Mm-hmm. And then I hear like strange football noise the first evening through the whole show. And because we had like different times where we were on stage, off stage and so on. And I found out that Ben Adams and Atle Pettersen are playing FIFA on PlayStation the whole evening.
Of course.
Just to kill the dead time. And I was like, these guys are 17 in their mind, but you guys are so cute because you were having such a friendly and nice time.
Yeah, of course.
It looked like two good friends having just a blast together.
Well, we hate each other, apart from when we play FIFA, which is why we play FIFA. No, we've been doing so many shows now over the past few years, so we
know each other
very well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, because that show was the first time I've actually had any time away from kids in like 4 years. So suddenly, you know, I was in Bergen. We're in a hotel in the middle of nowhere. There was nothing to do till 6 p.m. So I bought a PlayStation 5 and thought, right, let's have a go. I haven't played PlayStation since I was...
Well, that's so cute.
I don't know, aged, like, and I'm so bad at it now. And I go online to try and like, I'm going to, you know, play Call of Duty or something like that. And I'm just shot in the head instantly by some kid, like, 8-year-old kid on the other side of the world. So I'm bad at it. But Atla was also bad at FIFA, so I managed to win, which I really like. I really like winning.
That's so cute.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I don't think
you don't travel much anymore. That's what it means.
No, we travel a lot, but we're always doing things. So
oh, yeah, with your family then?
With my family?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, but also travel a lot with the band and you know, tour and stuff like that. But we're always
I understand.
Like,
you're not on your own.
We're not on my own
in a
with
hotel
like
room. I understand.
Free time.
Yeah.
The free time is something that I can't remember ever having apart from that show. So
yeah.
I came back from those weekends more relaxed than I've been ever. I did 4 songs on those shows. It's easy. It's the easiest thing I've ever done.
That's so cool. It's nice to understand that because I don't know what your classical... So you travel a lot. You do travel.
Yeah, I'm away all the time. Like most weeks I'm flying somewhere.
Really?
Mm.
And so who takes care of the kids? Is it your wife? Do you have family in Norway that help? Or I think it's a very Norwegian thing to have family helping.
Yeah. I mean, my wife kind of, you know, looks after the kids most of the time, and then she'll have her parents come. And her parents live in Skien.
Skien,
yeah. And we live not in Skien, but they come and visit.
That's nice.
And help out. But you know,
because I have three kids, I travel a lot too. Maybe not as far away as you guys, but I do a lot of shows, gigs, stuff throughout the evening, and so we are kind of unafraid to ask help from babysitters.
Right.
Which is a very French way, completely normal in France, very exotic for Norwegians. Norwegians tend to think you have kids, you take care of them yourself.
Mm. Yeah.
Or if you're very rich, you have an au pair.
Right.
And I don't have an au pair, I just have like different babysittings coming in and out and helping, and yeah, the kids enjoy it very much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, so I had an au pair when I grew up. And
was she French and mean to you?
She was Australian.
Oh.
And she was a bit embarrassing when, you know, sort of, but anyway, well, that's another story. But we had several au pairs as we grew up, you know, different ones. But the only reason why I wouldn't have an au pair now is because I don't really want somebody else living in my house.
Yeah.
So, because the au pairs lived with us, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And
yeah,
I'd prefer to not have that, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I can definitely see the benefit.
Yeah.
In having an au pair, because, you know, there's no time. There's no time. I can't remember what we did when we didn't have kids. Like, it's like, how, what did we do?
Like, I know, this feeling is strange, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Well, the first times you, like, go out of work without kids at home, you're like, what? So much time. And I remember I was tired. I remember I was busy. Yeah. How could I?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Exactly. Like, but I often, you know, just recently for my birthday, my wife and I went off to, had a gig in Manchester. And so she came over with me and the kids went to her parents' house. And we just sort of woke up on the Saturday morning and went, what do we do? What do we do? No one's woken us up. Like, I don't understand how, like, cool. Okay, I guess we have breakfast, or I guess we can, I don't know, like, we can do anything. And that's just not been how our lives have been.
Yeah.
And even before kids, we had COVID. Not we had COVID, but well, we did have a COVID,
the
but it was the COVID
was
time.
There,
so
yeah.
It was like years before that that we had to stay inside. So it's been a strange time. But yeah, wouldn't trade it for the world. It's great.
So your relationship with Norway is almost longer than your relationship with your wife.
Oh, yeah, absolutely,
and
yeah.
What do you like with Norway? And what do you dislike?
I love the way it looks. I think it's beautiful. I love how safe it is most places. And I love the people and the culture. I really hate the fact that there's no pub culture over here. I find that so boring. And I don't really understand Norwegians' relationship to drinking and alcohol. And then,
that's,
you know,
they
won't touch it the whole week. And then at the weekend, they'll
We've
go and get absolutely,
the
yeah, they'll go absolutely obliterated beyond, you know, they don't even know their own name, that kind of drunk. And then they'll start again, nothing. Whereas, you know, I guess in France, maybe it's a bit similar. But in the UK, you sort of just, you know, alcohol is not something to sort of, oh my God, alcohol. It's like, yeah, sure, we'll have a beer. Or we'll have a beer with lunch or, you know, Tuesday evening. Yeah, sure, we'll meet at the pub. I guess it's because alcohol's so expensive out here that people drink at home and I don't know. But like when I first moved over here, the thing I was really missing was that kind of, you know, that's where people
low-key
gather.
Pub.
Exactly. And you walk in, you know, you just, it's just a place where people gather. It's not to go and get absolutely smashed.
For me, what I thought surprising also is that it seems like you cannot take your kids at a pub. Whereas in France, you can take kids at restaurants.
Yeah.
Or in Germany too.
Absolutely.
You go to the kindergarten. Biergarten, I was about to say.
Yeah.
You go to the Biergarten and you can have your kids playing at the playground just. And while you sit at the table enjoying beer in the sun, and it's completely normal
absolutely.
Family thing
yeah,
to do.
It's absolutely
because it doesn't
it
mean
was.
You get drunk. It doesn't
no.
mean you lose control. It doesn't mean
no.
that you... But alcohol is very taboo in Norway. Right?
It is. And I tell you what, when we first kind of moved over here properly, and we lived like in the center of Oslo, and I was on Pappaperm with my daughter, and we were just going shopping and stuff like that, and it was like, I don't know, 2 p.m. I was like, oh, fancy a pint. So I went into a pub or whatever, or the equivalent, near Youngstorget. And I had a small Ringnes beer or whatever. And then, and I was sitting there, I was waiting for my wife to finish work. So I went I thought, I'll have another one, that's fine, like 0.4 or whatever. And then the lady sort of looked at me sort of a bit judgmental. And I was like, I don't know what she's talking about. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm sitting in the wrong seat or whatever. And then she came over and she went, I'm going to give you this one. But just so you know, if you order another one, I won't serve you. And I was like, I haven't ordered another one, why? Because I think it's irresponsible that you're drinking with your kid here. I'm like, well, my kid's asleep in the thing. I was like, am I drunk? No. Am I like, if I was like falling all over the place and absolutely out of control, absolutely say something. But like, I found that really rude.
Yeah, it is rude. Oh my God, yeah, and so sad.
Yeah, so I just left. I left the beer. But it is. They do have a very strange sort of, but I kind of understand it because like when I've tried to go and think, no, I'm sure there is a pub culture here, but and I'll go into a pub on my own just for a pint and I'll sit there and be like, oh, this is great. And then I'll look around at the characters that are also in the pub and I'm like, yeah, maybe this isn't my crowd.
No, exactly.
It is just mainly old drunkards.
Like what Norwegian called brun pub.
Brown pubs. Yeah, brown pub. But the you know, the browner the pub, the better in the UK. You know, it's supposed to be a bit kind of like, I don't know, a bit cozy but a bit rough and ready. And so I love that. I much prefer that kind of stuff over like like wine bars and stuff like that. I have no interest in that. I much prefer like they do have some good bars here. Like I think it's Roar. Or there's one called,
yeah,
or like
21.
Yeah, some briggeries and stuff like that. They do have some nice ones dotted about, but it's definitely not like a culture.
But there's no room in coming there with your kids, having a burger and three beers while your kids are playing. That's very strange for Norwegians.
I still do it.
But why we not? Do too, and we. I mean, my husband almost also takes our kids sometimes to the pub to watch a football game.
Yeah,
and have a beer himself.
Yeah.
But
why
it's not typically Norwegian thing to do. I'd say.
Well, who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
We're not Norwegian.
They have like they have a Coke and they're like, oh, papa, gaus, bruce. That's quite cute. Yeah. That is interesting. It's interesting answer. I like the fact that you observe this because I think also it tells a bit of how the society works and how, yeah, somehow very, Norwegians can be liberate on a lot of things, but and somehow they also have quite like a very strict rules.
Yeah. I also don't understand that Janteloven thing. Have you experienced that? Janteloven or I don't know.
Yes. So Ben, I am cursed because I am French and right. French are, we appear as very arrogant the way we...
Well, you are. You're very arrogant. That's the first thing I thought about you. This lady is full of arrogance. Yeah.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
My pleasure. No, but the thing is, I think that's the way we are. Also, the school is forming us. The language is forming us. We are very like into principles, knowledge, elitism. So when I came to I arrived to Norway, I was not ashamed of showing I know things, or I'm not ashamed of showing I've achieved things, and I think that's crashed completely with the Janteloven. So yes, I've experienced it many times, just because as a French person, the crash is even bigger than in from other culture.
Right.
For example, I give you an example at the in a working situation. There was this position that got free, and the company I was working for, and it was an interesting position, but it says that the degrees required was at least a bachelor.
Mm.
But in my French head, I have two master degrees, so I was like, this is crap.
Yeah.
I mean, if someone is with a bachelor,
you're
can apply.
You're better than that.
Of course I'm better than that. Yeah. Much better than that.
Yeah.
So I said, the guy was like, oh, you want to apply? And I was like, no, you write bachelor. So that's not the right caliber of the job, right? Mm. If someone with a bachelor, what's the point of having do two master grad? And he watched me very like, what an arrogant bitch. I mean, I could tell he was very surprised by my thinking.
Yeah.
But for me, I was like, are you trying to downgrade me now? Or what the heck is this?
Yeah.
And that's an example. Another example is that also the fact that, for example, my husband, he's very into the Janteloven. He takes a lot of merke på Birken. You know, that's this decoration that you've achieved a very short time to fulfill Birken, which is this this cross-country race each year at close to Lillehammer. He has so many, like, he crossed Grinnen and ski, but he still thinks it's very embarrassing when I mention it.
Right.
I'm like, ah, but Bjarnar, he crossed Grinnen and ski.
And he's like,
no, don't you give a like, that's very for me.
But he's Norwegian, right?
He's very Norwegian. On that point, he's very Norwegian.
Yeah. But my wife is kind of the same. Like, she's very even embarrassed with kind of what we have, like the car we drive or the house we have or stuff like that.
What car do you drive?
It's like Porsche, but it's like, you know, for me, like, why can't you be good at stuff? Why can't you know what you're good at and say, yeah, I'm good at this? Yeah. Or like, I've had success. Why can't I have a nice car? Why can't I live in a nice house? Like, I don't understand. Like, surely that should be celebrated. That shouldn't be something that you squash. And I don't understand the sort of mindset of like, I have to squash myself so that other people don't feel bad that they haven't achieved this or they haven't got this or they haven't. It's like, don't, you know, the nice ways of doing things and obviously not nice things. Don't like flaunt it and be egotistical and be like, oh my God, I'm so cool. But be like, you know, yeah, I'm good at this.
Yeah.
I'm proud of this. Yeah. I mean, you know, why can't you say that? Like, I don't understand. Why do you have to? No, don't worry. I no, it's not me. I wasn't good.
It's,
like,
it's
why?
It's very cute. So I've been with my husband for 18 years. So it's a while. And newly, I found out that my father-in-law, his father, has been a Norwegian champion of windsurf.
Oh.
And I had no idea.
No.
I mean,
he kept it quiet.
Yeah. If it had been French, he would have been like...
He'd have come into the sitting room on a windsurfing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. And he was like, oh, there was no much competitors and I was a bit lucky with the wind that day. I'm sure he's good at windsurfing.
Yeah,
obviously
yeah,
he
yeah.
is.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But I think you should be able to own... Without bragging and without being smug about it, I think you should be able to be good at things and have nice things and be proud of, be house proud, be car proud, be whatever it is. Do you know what I mean? Like just, you know, I definitely don't understand that aspect of Norway.
I understand. It's interesting. What do you do now in terms of music, productions and so on? You do a lot, I am impressed.
I do a lot, yeah. And I really like things to be varied because I get very bored very quick.
Okay.
So, you know, for periods of my life, like obviously A1 was very intense for a period. And then after that, I basically just partied for maybe 5 years and did no work. And I went to, you know, I was very good friends with a singer called Craig David. So me and him just went partying to San Jose, Miami, blah, blah, blah. And we partied for 3 or 4, 5 years, probably just solidly, did nothing. And then after that, I suddenly thought, I spent a lot of money and not really achieved anything in the last 5 years. So what should I do? So then I started producing and writing for other people, not just the stuff that I did with A1. And then I did that, but then I did that for a very long period and I got really bored. So I need to do a bit of performing and then a bit of studio work and then a bit of something else, a bit of acting and then a bit of podcasting. Yeah, I've done musicals. I've done, for years in the UK.
Was
I did like Rocky Horror Picture Show and I've done We Will Rock You and Flashdance musical. Like, I've done so many different things. And,
that's so cool.
So I really like to keep things varied. So it's never, my years are never the same. They're always like dipping in and out of different things. And I do, you know, a lot of gigs and a lot of concerts with A1, but I do a lot of stuff on my own as well, and I do a lot of production for other people. I'm just translating this Norwegian kids Christmas movie into English, so I'm doing that with a company called Kristen over here, which is fun.
I know them. They're
okay,
so good.
They're brilliant. So they just did Floor Clipper and stuff.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Doing that with them. Then we had this Subwoofer project going on, which is us dressing up as yellow wolves singing about bananas. I have that going on still.
Of course,
the Eurovision side of things.
You sang for the Pope. I'm curious.
Yeah. I was in the choir. Well, that was years ago. I was a choir boy, so that was how I started singing. So I was in. I was head chorister of St. Margaret's Westminster Abbey, and we sang for the royal weddings and for the Queen all the time when she was alive, and the Pope back then. I'm not quite sure which Pope it was because I'm not very religious, but I've done lots of...
Was it a woman or a man?
I think it was a man. Was it a woman? I'm not sure. That was a really fun part of my childhood, but it was the part that made me not religious, because I would see behind the closed doors of how all of these supposedly very holy people behaved.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Backstage, and I was like, oh, this doesn't feel correct. And then as soon as, you know, the vestry door would open, they'd go out to their church as if it was a show, you know, and just be this holier-than-thou person. And then they'd come back and they'd be farting and swearing. And I'd be like, oh, hang on a second, what's this? So I now am completely not religious. And my dad is also he's a priest. Which is fun. So so whenever he comes, he's always trying to sort of get me back into the religious side and sort of bring it up. But I'm just not interested at all.
I also have like an anecdote of my first singing on TV. And it was not singing on TV. I was invited to do improv. I was perhaps 20 on live TV in France. And and then there is this UK guy, kind of a weirdo, that has this song. And I was like, ugh. Whatever that is, that wasn't going to work. It was the first time he sang it on French TV. And there's a video of me on YouTube, like, you know, like I'm clapping like a bit like whatever, and the guy was like, "You're beautiful."
James Blunt. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that was James Blunt.
Nice.
And I remember thinking, "Ugh, whatever." 6 months later, the song was huge.
Yeah.
It was such a huge a success. So I also remember that was my.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be honest, that's a great story of James Blunt, because he came from nowhere just with a song. And I remember hearing it for the very first time on radio, and I was like, that's a really good song. And, that is an example of where a song can actually grow organically, and I'm sure they pump loads of money into it as well, like they do everything else. But, like, when you have, like, I don't think he's ever had another song as good or as big or anything like that. But, like, well, you just need one song that really, like, hits home and is amazing and all the parts just fit together. And then it has a life of its own. So I love that. And as a songwriter, that's what everybody's trying to search for, just a song that has its own organic life, that you don't have to do the big push and the big promo for. It's just a brilliant song.
But do you think it still exists in 2026, songs that get, like, grow organic?
Yeah, I mean, I think it can. I mean, for example, like, artists like Lewis Capaldi and stuff, he's a very unlikely pop star, I guess you could say. He's not what you would traditionally think, okay, yeah, he looks like he could be a pop star, but his voice is so brilliant and his songs are so brilliant that they just, cut through. Even look at, okay, so when we did Eurovision with Subwoofer, there was a girl there called, I think her name was Rosalind, and she was probably the least favourite person on that Eurovision stage, and I think she did come almost last. And then her song, Snap, suddenly, grew organically on TikTok. It was, I don't know, and it's now streamed billions. And so she is far surpassed anybody else that came anywhere close to winning or won Eurovision ever. So that grew organically. So it is definitely possible.
That's very cool. That's very motivating, I think.
Yeah.
Do you work a lot with Norwegian artists?
I've worked with many Norwegian artists, yes.
Yeah.
I don't remember their names because they're all weird. no, I'm sure there's an Inga in there. I've done a lot, and I do. Obviously, living in Norway now, there's a whole great pool of talent in Norway.
So. You think so, yes?
Absolutely, yeah. I've worked with some great people and some not so great people, but there are not great people everywhere too. So
that's something universal. But I was impressed by the musical culture when I came to Norway, with especially in Bergen. There's like a few like huge stars.
Yeah, I don't know much about the Bergen music scene, to be honest. Like I've been there for concerts and just dipped in and out, but I mainly worked in Oslo.
In Oslo, yeah.
So, and I know there are big stars over there, but I think over here there are more regional stars, aren't there? So you can be like a big celebrity in Bergen, or a big, like in England, you're either a big celebrity or you're not. You're not like, oh, I'm very big in Manchester, or I'm very big in Wales.
France, it's very centralized.
Yeah,
it's
you're
Paris,
either big everywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, yeah.
But I think Norwegians have something called, which I think is very cute, bupatriotisme.
Right.
Patriotisme is a Latin word. In France, we don't...
Patriotism.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In France, we don't speak English. We speak Latin. That's another story.
Yeah, yeah.
I've learned Latin at school for years.
Me too. I learned Latin too.
Yeah, you did?
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember any of it.
But I think it's fun how Norwegians like adopt these words and combine it with like very something Norwegian like bupatriotisme, which I think is a very strange, because if you think about patriotisme, what does that actually mean? It's strange. But anyway, they're very proud about where they're from in Norway.
Mm.
And suddenly if somebody gets a bit big in Stavanger, Sandnes, eller Raufoss, gets a local hero, exactly what you described.
Yeah, a local hero.
And the rest of the country hasn't heard about him or her.
But I can see that through, the MGP competitions that I've been involved in over the years. And like, oh no, he's very big in Stavanger. Well, we should watch about his votes because the Stavanger people will get behind him. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh my gosh, okay, great, cool. So it's as if like when we had writing sessions and there was someone coming in that was just from Oslo, we're like, oh no, can't we work from someone with Bergen who's going to instantly have, loads of votes, even if the song's crap, I don't know. Yeah, something easy.
That's cool. I would like also to tell us a bit how Norwegian you became. I understand you've been there for 4 years and you've been in a relationship with Norway for longer.
Mm.
But when we met, you told me something I thought very hilarious and very relatable, that you've tried the hytte, the family meeting at the hytte, and however your British family didn't get it and it was a bit too much to have everybody locked in a house surrounded by snow.
You're saying hytte?
Hytte. Yeah.
Okay,
hytte.
Yeah. I actually find that annoying as well. When I try and speak Norwegian and I'm like trying, a word like hytte, for example, if I go, oh, we're going to the hytte, whatever, and people are going, well, the hitter. And they go, oh, you mean the hitter? And I'm like, yes, that's why I just said that. There's so many words.
It happens to me all the time. And seriously, even my husband's name is Bernard, and it's hard for French people to say Bernard, and people are like, never heard about that guy. Like, Bernard, oh, yeah. Like, what I said.
Well, exactly. I'm glad it happens to somebody else too.
Yeah. All the time.
Or even the name Beata. Like, I've met...
Oh, you made it sound so much nicer than Beate.
But there's a girl version and a guy version, right? Isn't there?
Beate.
Yeah, what, like, right, come on that, right. That's the same word, isn't it?
Beate,
I said to my wife, I was like, oh, yeah, no, I met this guy called Beate or whatever. And she laughed her head off because she was like, she was envisaging that it was a girl, but it was a guy, I don't know. Anyway, yes, basically, like, in summary, the pronunciation is very key here, and I don't have that down.
It's hard, but it's also very frustrating when I think Norwegians really seriously don't get it, but it almost seems like they are making fun of us. I remember I had this colleague called Petter, and one day I asked, like, where has Petter arrived? And people were like, there's no one called that way working here. And I was like, guys, I hate you all. he sits there and it's like, oh, yeah, Petter.
Yeah,
like, okay.
I know.
But, but anyway, so I was about to ask about the hütte. Let's call it the cabin.
Let's call it the cabin. Or, as some people call it, the cabbage. Norwegians get it wrong all the time, and it really makes me laugh. Even the people that were trying to sell us the cabin, they were going, this is going to be a very beautiful cabbage. You're going to love it. But I was like, really? Amazing. I hope it's cheap.
Is it a mix between cabin and cottage?
Yes. Cabbage. there's quite a few of those things. There are some Norwegian things that really make me laugh as well. I still giggle when I drive past Fart's Dumper. I think that's hilarious. And I love, and also the word for stairs is trap. That's amazing. Like, you're in the hotel and you're like, oh my God, there's a fire. Like, where should we go? Head for the trap. You're like, okay. And there's so many funny things that still make me giggle. So, yeah.
For us French people, it's the fact that pute.
Right.
It means whore.
Yes, of course it does.
And you sell it, it's like, how many pute do you want in your bed?
Yes.
You're like, well.
Absolutely. Well, many, obviously. I love many poots from my bed. But then, and also the, and it's so childish, but like when I see on the magazines, it's like a picture of a girl and something's ended, like her relationship or whatever. And it's just her picture and slut underneath the thing. It's just so ridiculous.
Slut Sparkin.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, it makes me laugh. But sorry, the cabin, the cabbage. Yeah. What are we?
So when you go at the cabbage.
Yes.
With your family. It made me laugh out loud because I think I was very relating to the fact that it's fun when we foreigners try to copy what Norwegians do as rituals, or they know how to behave, like when they're locked inside and then they just have to go skiing if they want to get some fresh air.
And then
to import your foreign family in that situation, that doesn't go always your way.
No, well, it was a disaster that Christmas because I bought this cabin in Tudal. Maybe I've said that wrong as well. Telemark. And I had these sort of visions of, like, we don't get white Christmases in England. Like, isn't it? But there it's like, it's amazing, like winter wonderland snow. So I just envisaged, I'll invite all of my family over for Christmas. It's going to be amazing. You know, my brother, his wife, his kid, my sister, her husband, their two kids, my mum, just everybody. And it's going to be the best time. And it's got 5 bedrooms and stuff, so I thought there'd be plenty of space. And then I just sort of realised that, like, it was just slowly dawning on me what a nightmare that was, just having everybody in such a small space. They also didn't like it that it was so dark all the time. So they wanted all the lights up, like AstroTurf kind of lighting. And I'm like, no, turn it down so it's nice and relaxing. So that was already a fun thing going on. I think Norwegians know if you go to somebody else's cabin, you tidy up after yourself, or you share the cooking, or you share the, you know, it's just that's what you do when you go to cabins. Whereas I think they'd all come over thinking we're going for a holiday.
Where we are invited.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's like this is where we can go and just relax now. So basically it was me and my wife.
Cooking 30 people.
Yeah. I mean, they did help out and stuff like that. But like even the tidying thing, like if you think there were 4 or 5 kids there as well under one roof, just making a complete mess, which I don't like to live like in a kindergarten. I like to live at home and kids have a toy room or whatever. But then obviously they bring up their kids differently. So there was toys everywhere, stuff like that. So I was just slowly sitting in the corner just thinking, oh my God, this is not great. So anyway, the sort of crux of it came when, the icing on the cake, should I say, when I kind of just needed to go on a little walk for myself. And I was like, okay, my mum was in the hot tub. And then she said, can I, you know, have some of the kids in the hot tub with me? And I was like, be honest, I make sure that this hot tub is clean for like adults, like all year round with the right chemicals, everything like that. Some of these kids, my nephews, they're not like potty trained. So like, I would really prefer if there's not like, I don't know, they're not doing their business in the hot tub. That's kind of gross kind of thing. So please don't. I go for this little walk, come back 5 minutes later and all the kids are in the hot tub and I'm like, oh my God, okay, I'm sure it'll be fine, but whatever. So the next morning I wake up and everyone's gone to, you know, still asleep. And I'm like, I'm just going to get in the hot tub and have a nice relax in here on my own. Just, you know, watch the sunrise, everything. And then I'm sort of sitting there and then just particles of poop.
Oh no,
That has gone through the fans. Oh no. In the thing. And just, then I just lost it. And so I just sat and got quietly drunk in the corner by myself the entire time. I'm not doing that again. I think, you know, people coming over like one section of family at a time will work. I don't think anybody had a nice time. It wasn't just me. Everyone was just like, there's too many people in the same place at the same time.
I really relate to this because I grew up in Paris and I didn't know also the fact that in Norway there is this dug not on where you're supposed to contribute when you do something. And a hilarious example, I should write stand-up text on it. When we had like 5 years anniversary of marriage, my husband gave me a tour in what Norwegian called Luftballon. In French is Montgolfière. How do you call that in English? This balloon full of warm air.
Hot air balloon.
Hot air balloon. Thank
99
you.
Luftballons.
Exactly. Auf ihrem Weg zum Horizont.
Yeah. Perfect.
I was fan of Nena because my first language was German. Please don't judge.
Okay. I'm not judging. I think I have Germans in the family.
Oh.
Yeah.
I love Nena. Anyway, so I'm going there and I was like, wow, it's going to be like flying. It was in Sweden. It was a bit like flying over these beautiful landscapes of the fjords in Sweden, served bubbles.
Mm.
I mean, it's super romantic.
Yeah.
But we end up, and I swear to you, Ben, I was tragicomic, but I was actually comic. The guy was like, yeah, welcome. And then he was speaking Swedish quite quickly, so I struggled a bit. But basically, we were the crew. I mean, the passengers who paid. We were the crew. We were supposed to like, you do that, you do this, you do this, and I'm the captain, and shut up. And and he was like, okay, so first of all, we need to, and it's quite a big physical work to spread out this huge balloon on the floor.
Right.
For it to flip it up.
Yeah.
And then you have to run into this little basket, right? For it not to fly away with that. It's crazy shit. But it was working. It was hard work. Yeah. And then when we fly, it was like being on an elevator, very, very close to each other. So
it does sound romantic.
The romantic moment I had picture was screwed, but it was beautiful. My husband was laughing at her. I was like, look at her. She's freaking out. And then we fly. And then when we were done flying, I was so happy. Like, oh, it's done. No, we had to help roll
the thing up at the end. Oh, well, that's, you know, I can maybe understand a bit of like, oh, I'll do a bit of this, a bit of that, whatever. Like if you're on a sailing boat, oh, can you just, you know,
grab that sail. That was fucking
If I had to
odd.
Fold the boat up afterwards, I'd be like, what's going on? Yeah. No, I would have bailed on that.
I was amused by this.
They're like, very brave going up in a hot air balloon, and not something I would do. I think they're quite dangerous, aren't they?
Are they?
I think so. They can catch fire quite easy. Or they have, like, in the news, there have been lots of fatalities from hot air ballooning.
Really?
So it's good you didn't die.
Oh, okay. Then I'm glad we had this discussion when I came
back. Yeah, absolutely.
We are about to wrap up, but before we finish, I have a surprise for you, Ben.
Okay. I like surprises. Is it going to be a huge
We're
going to
do a blind test.
A blind test?
Yes, because you said...
It sounds a bit rude. is it not that kind of blind
not
test?
Not that kind of blind test.
Okay.
It's something to drink, blind test.
Okay, perfect.
You said you
that also could be rude.
Culture.
No, sorry. It's taken a weird turn.
You said you missed the pub culture. I struggled to open that bottle, but... Ah. We're not the first one to drink in this studio.
I'm not going to look what this is then.
I am serving you a French beer.
A French beer?
And I'm happy to hear what you think about it.
From Vin Monopoly yet or whatever?
Well, I think it's from... I brought it from France.
Yeah, you did?
Look at the color.
Well, that is... That looks very special.
Isn't it?
Is it some kind of cherry...
Well, maybe. But I'm happy to have somebody who's been at the pub.
Okay.
And don't be too polite. I know you guys from the UK are so polite and nice and so well behaved.
Right.
But be honest.
Okay.
What do you think?
I am quite honest as a person. Okay, so this is actually a beer, is it?
Yes.
Is it strong?
Not too strong.
Not strong. Okay. And when we say not strong, are we talking like 4.7?
Yes, 5? About. Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think?
No, I like that. That's nice. Is it rhubarb or something like that? What's the flavor?
I'm not sure. I'm just kidding with you. It's I think it's Infusion Fermentert. I bought it at the Vin Monopole.
What is it?
Alcohol free. I think it's something Norwegian. It was just a joke.
Oh, what? Well, you know what? Then you fooled me. I could probably. I mean, the bottle is a bit of a giveaway because you don't really.
Tuteberg Rosmarin Perlende Fermentert Infusion. Isn't it good?
It's quite good.
But it's alcohol free.
It's definitely not something I would like. Always drink.
No, but when the day
because the thing is about alcohol is I like the feeling of it. It's not just oh I'm having a beer. That's why you know I've tried a lot of alcohol free beers when I've been like oh I'm going to be good this week. Yeah. But then I'm like what's the point? Why am I drinking this beer when it's not going to like have any like effect?
Yeah, I agree. Plus, I think I worked for the beer industry for years.
Yeah,
and I've been pregnant many times. It's a strange sentence to say, but it's true. And I fully agree with you. Sometimes, like, yeah, it doesn't taste like beer.
No,
beer tastes alcohol.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the whole like joy of it.
Exactly. And also, the only beers that do taste slightly good also have some alcohol in it. So
yeah, exactly.
Even though it says alcohol free, it's like 0.5% or whatever. But that makes a difference.
Yeah, because there's two ways of having beer. Alcohol-free beer is that you don't like the fermentation happen,
yeah,
like malt basiert, like vörterel,
right?
Or you like the fermentation happen and you boil the
right.
beer afterwards to make the alcohol evaporate, and then it's a little bit of alcohol that still is in the
right. I see. So trace
exactly.
Yeah.
So, but that's why it tastes better. I fully agree. But
right.
still, good beer is alcohol.
It's not
you
correct.
You can be cancelled. So,
well, you kind of wasted your money on this Fjell 01,
no,
whatever Martin it's called.
No, we're going to binge drink it.
You're going
like
to binge
drink
it. You guys are going to, you are crazy. Nuts. Can I please come to one of your parties? That sounds brilliant.
Before we wrap up, I have five last questions. It's like five quick questions to wrap up.
Right.
So do not think too much. Just come with the first anecdote or first answer that comes into your mind. What is your favorite Norwegian expression or word?
Snip, snop, snute, so evt, dute.
Oh, that's super cute. Is that your four-year-old who teach you that?
No, I've known that. That's what I say at gigs to make people laugh at me. So, you know, just a bit of fun for Norwegian people. Or I sing, Hakome ule blum.
Elite.
But I've done that before I had kids because it's such a ridiculous song for me to sing as a grown adult.
Oh, that's quite cute though. The strangest thing you've ever tasted or ate eaten in Norway?
I've eaten everything that Norway has to offer because, you know, when we were over here doing a lot of promo, a lot of like the radio stations like to say, oh, there's a foreign person, let's try them out with smørhaver or rakfisk or whatever it is.
Sounds so like French preference having frogs.
Yeah.
We never eat frogs. Never.
No, you don't. No, I've had frogs as well. I've had kangaroo, I've had snails, everything. So, but yeah, no, I've pretty much tasted everything. And the most disgusting one was rakfisk. That was not nice.
No, I
didn't really like lutefisk either. That wasn't great.
Your favorite Norwegian celebration?
Is obviously the 17th of May.
Everybody says that. Isn't it lovely?
It is nice. I mean, it's especially now we have kids, like we're quite looking forward to like seeing them going parading around. But, you know, because Sarah lived with me in my wife in London for ages, she was very interested in, even if we were there, celebrating 17th of May. And then it's just very odd. You sort of just see a bunch of people walking around with Norwegian flags around a park and you're like, what on earth is going on here? And they're all dressed as like medieval characters, like from Henry VIII time or whatever. You know, now I can sort of fully appreciate
and
like an honorary
you have sausages
Norwegian.
And ice creams and the whole
I guess we do, yes. So, but you know, I think it's a nice day. But I think it's strange also that Norwegians are very proud of the flag. So even where I live, like the all the houses around the sea part, I can see like 5-6 different, you know, houses with flags up. In the UK, like the flag doesn't have that kind of
that's
thing. Like it's sort of, if you have a flag outside your house in UK, it's a bit kind of tacky, and it's a bit like a a sign of like a football yob or whatever. You just don't really have that. So I did think it'd be weird, like, okay, there are all these Norwegian flags being put up. What would happen if I put a massive flagpole on my house with an English flag in Norway? I wonder if people would react and go, nah, you're not allowed to do that, or if they'd be like, oh, that's fine.
Because my husband wanted to do so with a French flag on our French National Day.
Right.
Just, and he's Norwegian. He was like, well, why not? It's the French National Day. And I was like, yeah, I'm not comfortable of having our French flag in front of my own house in Oslo.
But is the French flag viewed the same as the UK flag? Is it?
Probably. Well, I would say that you can be seen as nationalist.
Yeah.
Or having like extreme right politics opinions.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I think it sort of comes with a whole message if you bring that kind
Whereas
of flag
it's
around.
In Norway, then the flag is on cakes, on clothes, on cucumber in the supermarket. It's crazy. It's
on
everywhere.
Faces. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Who do you think is going to win the World Cup?
I think Norway.
Aww.
No, I don't know. I mean, I'm not really into football, to be honest with you, because we used to live right near the Chelsea football ground. So my sort of association with football is just how bloody annoying that there's a game on, because the traffic's terrible and it comes with a whole bunch of drunk hooligans just littering the streets. And, you know, so I like watching football, and I like playing FIFA, as you saw, but I'm not really into football. I watch the World Cup if sort of England or Norway are doing well, but if they're not
France? But ben.
Of course, France. I meant France as well. Oui, I just forgot a very, you know, small lapse of mind. But yeah, no, France, England and Norway, if they're doing well, I'll watch it. If they're not, I can't be bothered.
And the last but not least, some people listen to this podcast and they just arrived in Norway, or they are been in Norway for a while. What is your best recall for these people to discover Norwegian nature?
It can be recall? What was a recall?
Sorry, a recommendation.
A recommendation.
I know you're doing the hütte thing to me in English.
No, but you said recall. What does that mean? That's not even an English word. You know, you can't sort of shorten a word that doesn't need shortening.
Recommendation. Recall in a shortened version of recommendation in French.
But not in English.
Okay, but sorry, Ben.
So if you're going to speak English, speak proper. anyway, or properly, that should have been.
I'm going to be drunk with this rhubarb.
Yeah, you are drunk. It sounds a bit drunk. My recommendation is to... Ooh, gosh, that's interesting. What is the best... Maybe go and take an ice bath.
Oh.
People seem to... I've never done it, and I would not do that. I think it's absolutely ludicrous. But I still see people, friends of mine, on Instagram, going for these... They go in this hot sauna, which I think is hilariously called cock. You get in your cock... and then you go out to sea and you jump in, freeze yourself to death, and then come back. I don't understand, but yeah, I'm all right with just hanging on to the cock.
That's a beautiful final word.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much, Ben, and enjoy the rest of your day. And thank you for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Okay, bye-bye.